Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in it. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you're here, especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending. Welcome. Those of us who are here week in and week out will be looking for folks whose faces we don't recognize to introduce ourselves and to extend our hope that you will become a part of our community here. Of course, one way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing here at West End, and there are lots of opportunities in your bulletin insert. Don't just recycle it. Read it first. I am going to lift up just a few, but there are many, many others as well. First of all, with our youth, the kickoff is August 14th. It's our fall kickoff, and every youth is invited, whether or not you've been involved previously. You are welcome to come. You can read more about that in the bulletin insert. Also, our Sunday school and small groups kickoff for youth will be August 21st. Again, all youth are invited, so if you haven't been involved, take this as an opportunity to become involved. Then in September, we will be having a widow's retreat led by Donna Marie Todd. It's a storytelling retreat. It allows us to use stories as a form of healing for those of us who have suffered the loss of a spouse. And part of this was designed with the help of the National Storytelling Network. You can read more about that in your bulletin insert. Also, Habitat is coming up. We do this every fall, and there are a couple of ways you can support this effort. You can do one or both. Our communion offering this morning goes to help support our $30,000 contribution. We now have about $9,500 raised. If you want to support that, you can do that in the communion offering or simply with another offering designated for that. And you can volunteer to help with the Habitat build. Those signups begin August 21st. I hope you'll keep that in mind. Also, look at the back of our bulletin insert. It lets you know about the kinds of things we have going on for children on Sunday mornings. Also, don't forget about our mindfulness workshop. That's the 26th and 27th of this month, led by Gordon Pierman. We have a good group signed up already, but please, if you would like to learn a little bit about how to gain some quiet in a very noisy and busy world, this might be for you. And this afternoon at 2 p.m. here in the sanctuary, our own Nancy Hawthorne and Jeff Parker will be married, and you are all invited. Please know that. There will be a reception upstairs in the four-story theater. So that's two this afternoon. I know many of you are planning on attending that already. Do you ever think about what you really treasure? Maybe if you looked at where you spend your money or where you spend your time or where you spend your effort, it'd be an indicator. Well, in a few minutes, you're going to hear what Jesus has to say about this. And then you're going to hear a story about where we find what we treasure. Stick around. Thank you.
Lord calls us today to be people of justice and mercy. Our worship is hollow if it focuses only on our own gratification. The Lord asks that our words of hope become actions of peace. Thanks be to God who challenges and calls us. Let our ministry together bring peace and justice. Let our lives reflect God's love and mercy. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and as the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. He said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink. And do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You know, sometimes when you preach, you don't have to preach. You can just tell a story and let the story do the work. I learned that from Jesus. That's what I'm going to do today. Once upon a time, there was a king. He was a very wise king. At least he thought he was very wise. And just to prove how wise he was, he would travel through the countryside around his realm, and every now and again he would stop and he would ask one of his subjects a riddle. No one could ever answer one of the king's riddles, which just went to prove he was the wisest one in the entire kingdom. Then one day he was riding along and happened to pass by a mill house. The mill wheel was turning, being turned by the stream that went past the mill house, and the miller was standing in front of the mill house, and the king called for his driver to stop. The driver stopped in front of the mill house, and the king called the miller over, said, "Miller, I have a question for you. Tell me, if you can, what is the fastest thing in the world?" Well, the miller didn't know much about fast. Most of his life was pretty slow. He thought for a minute, and finally he said, "Wait right here. I'll be right back with the answer." He went inside the mill house. He stayed just a few moments, and when he came back out, he said, "Your Majesty, the fastest thing in the world is a thought. Because a thought can travel from here to the other end of the universe just like that." The king was amazed. No one had ever been able to answer one of his riddles, much less a common miller. It must have been dumb luck. So he said, "Miller, let me ask you a second riddle. Tell me, if you can, what is the sweetest thing in the world?" Well, the miller thought for a while. He thought, "I probably should say the honey in the king's honeycombs, but surely there are sweeter things." Finally, after puzzling just a moment, he said, "Here, wait right here. I'll be right back." He went inside the mill house, and when he came back out, he said, "Your Majesty, the sweetest thing in the world is sleep, because when you are tired or sad, there is nothing quite so sweet as sleep." The king was astonished. Two in a row by a common miller. He couldn't believe it. What was going on here? "Fine," he said, "fine. Tell me, if you can, Miller, what is the richest thing in the world?" Well, the miller didn't know anything about riches. He thought, "I should probably say the king, but surely there were richer kings around elsewhere." He didn't even hesitate this time. He said, "Wait right here." He went inside the mill house. Shortly after that, he returned and he said, "Your Majesty, the richest thing in the world is the earth itself, because it's out of the earth that all riches come." The king was absolutely flabbergasted. Three in a row by a common miller. He could not believe it. And then the answer came to him. He said, "You are a wizard, aren't you? You have a book of spells back in that mill house, and you go in there and you cast some kind of spell and come up with the answer. Now tell me the truth, miller." The miller said, "Oh no, Your Majesty, you have me wrong. I don't have a book of spells. I couldn't read it if I did. But I do have a daughter. And whenever I have a really, really difficult question or situation, I always go and ask her. She always gives me a very, very wise answer. And so when you asked me those questions and I didn't know what to make of them, I just went inside and asked my daughter. Those were her answers. I was just the messenger. I brought the answers to you that she had given to me." Well, now the king was interested. Being of the single persuasion himself, knowing that one day he would want a very wise woman to rule at his side, he thought it might be interesting to meet this miller's daughter. So he said, "Miller, I would love to meet your daughter. Tell her to come to the castle, and I will give her an audience, but she has to come in this particular fashion. She has to come to the castle neither by day nor by night, neither walking nor riding, and neither clothed nor unclothed. Tell your daughter when she arrives at the castle under those conditions, I will give her an audience." He called for the driver to pull away and they were gone. The miller couldn't make heads or tails out of what the king had said, but he went inside and he told his daughter, and she just nodded and smiled. And the next morning, the guards who stood on the battlements of the castle saw the strangest sight they had ever seen. It was just at dawn, when it was not still night and not yet day, neither by day nor by night. A woman came toward the castle with one leg over a goat and the other one on the ground, neither walking nor riding. She wasn't wearing a dress or a gown, but had taken leaves and pasted them all over her body, so she was neither clothed nor unclothed. And in that fashion, the miller's daughter arrived at the gate of the castle. When the king heard this, he was delighted. He invited her in. He was as stricken by her beauty as he was by her wisdom. He thought, "This is exactly the person I need to serve with me and help rule this kingdom." He said, "I would love it if you would agree to marry me, but if we are to be married, there are certain conditions you have to meet. You see, I am the chief judge of the land. All of the most difficult cases come to my court. And once I make a decision, it is final. So, you must promise me you will never go behind my back to go against one of my decisions, and you must never make me look foolish." "Very well," said the miller's daughter. "If we are to be married, there is a condition you have to meet." Well, the king wasn't used to meeting anyone's conditions, but he was interested enough to ask what that was. She said, "If I am ever sent away from this castle for any reason, I get to take whatever I treasure most with me." "Fine," said the king. He was very wealthy. He could replace literally anything in his entire realm. And so the contracts were written, the date was set, and the king and the now queen were married. They lived happily and well for a number of years. The king was the chief judge of the land. Difficult cases came to his court. The queen, though, in her own quiet way, shared her wisdom among the subjects. One day, a particularly difficult case came before the king. It seems there was a farmer who owned a cow, and that cow had given birth to a calf. Now, the calf had wandered off and had found its way under a peddler's cart. The peddler, finding the calf under his cart, simply took a rope, tied it to his cart, and took it as if it were his own. Now, the farmer claimed the calf was his because his cow had given birth to it. The peddler claimed the calf was his because he had found it and claimed it. Well, this baffled the local magistrates. The court case came to the king. The king listened to both sides. And remember hearing somewhere that possession was 9/10 of the law, gave the calf to the peddler under whose cart it had been found. Well, the peddler went away happy, but the farmer went away crestfallen. On his way out of the castle, the farmer happened upon the queen, and she noticed that he was very distressed. She was very concerned about the welfare of her subjects, and so she asked the man what was wrong. He told her his story, how his cow had given birth to a calf. His calf had wandered off, a peddler had found it under his cart, and the king had actually given possession of the calf to the peddler. Well, the queen realized immediately that her husband had done the man a grave injustice. So she said, "I tell you what you do. Early in the morning, every day, the king goes riding along a certain road. I want you to be on that road before dawn tomorrow. And I want you to take a fishing net, tack one side of the net to a tree on one side of the road, stretch the net across the road so nothing can pass, attach the other side of the net to a tree on the other side of the road, so that when the king comes along, he'll have to stop. He won't be able to get by. When he stops, he'll probably ask you what you're doing. When he does, you tell him you're fishing. He'll say something like, 'That's madness. You don't fish in the middle of a road. You fish in a river, a stream, a lake.' When he says that, you tell him it's as easy to catch fish in the middle of a road as it is for a cart to give birth to a calf." And so the next morning, the farmer was there. He had his net stretched across the road. Sure enough, here came the king. The king stopped. "What are you doing?" "I'm fishing, Your Majesty." "Fishing? That's madness. You don't fish in the middle of a road. You fish in a river, a stream, a lake." "Ah, but Your Majesty, it's as easy to catch fish in the middle of a road as it is for a cart to give birth to a calf." And the king realized that he had done the man a grave injustice. Offered him 10 calves from the royal herd to make up for the one he had taken unjustly. But the king said, "You didn't come up with this on your own, did you? You had help." "That's right, Your Majesty." "Who helped you?" "Her Majesty." "Just as I thought," he said. So he called for the driver to return to the castle. As soon as he arrived, he called for the queen to come in. And when she entered the courtroom, he said, "You, years ago when we married, you promised me that you would never go behind my back to go against one of my decisions. You would never make me look foolish. And now you've done both. I want you gone. Tomorrow morning, I want you to take whatever belongs to you and be out of here." The queen said, "Very well, but you also promised me something. You promised that if ever I were sent away for any reason, I could take whatever I treasure most with me." "Fine," said the king, "load it on the cart and take it to your father's house. Just be gone." Well, that evening, the queen ordered that the king's favorite meal be served. Along with it, she ordered that his favorite wine be served and that his cup never be empty. Well, they sat at that dinner in a stony silence. The king eating several helpings of his favorite foods, drinking numerous cups of his favorite wine. And in the quiet, he simply nodded off to sleep. As soon as he was in a good, deep sleep, the queen got up and motioned for the guards to come in to pick up his chair and king and all and put him on the cart of things she was taking to her father's mill house. They took them all to the mill house. When they arrived, they took the king off, chair and all, put him next to the fire, unloaded all her other worldly belongings, and they left. The next morning, when the king awoke with a slight headache, he looked around and noticed he wasn't in the royal bedroom. He said, "Help! Help! I've been kidnapped! Help!" His wife came in and said, "Shh! People are trying to sleep." He said, you've kidnapped me. You're holding me hostage to try to force me to take you back. She said, "Shh, shh, 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 shh. If you'll be quiet for just a moment, I'll tell you what we're doing. Remember, you promised me that if ever I were sent away from the castle for any reason, I could take whatever I treasure most with me. And what I treasure most in all the world is you. So here we are. In my father's mill house, where we will live out the rest of our days." Well, the king quickly realized that he had done his wife and himself a grave injustice. So that day, the king and the queen and the now royal miller all returned to the castle where they lived happily and well. The king was still the chief judge of the land, and only the most difficult cases came to his court. But in future days, when an especially difficult case came to his court, he was often heard to say, "You know, we had best consult with my wife on this one. She is a very, very wise woman." Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where is your treasure today? Where is your heart?
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right, my left, following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are to be kept confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you will find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As a pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of the service. We extend our sympathy to Steve Masker and his family, who are mourning the death of Steve's father, William Mansker, who died Monday, August 1st in Harrisburg, Virginia. Services will be held August 13th at Bridgewater United Methodist Church in Bridgewater, Virginia. We also extend sympathy to the family of George Samuel Sam Jones, who died Tuesday, August 2nd, while on a trip to Pennsylvania. Funeral services were held here Friday, August 5th. Among Sam's survivors is his wife, Nancy Jones. And we also extend sympathy to Jim, Denise, and Anna Keaton Busalis, who are mourning the death of Jim's mother, Inga Busalis, who died Tuesday, August 2nd in Memphis. Services will be held tomorrow, August 8th, at the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Memphis. God has graciously given all that we have. As people of faith, let us return thanks through our tithes and offerings.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right, and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Let us continue in prayer. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. With the confidence of children of God, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, the bread of life, broken and given for you and me, that we might have new life and be made whole. This is the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation, poured out for you and for me, that we might know the forgiveness of our sins. In our Methodist tradition, this is an open table. It is hosted by Christ. It is open to anyone. You don't have to be United Methodist or even baptized. If you seek to be in relationship with Jesus Christ, to know the love and grace of Christ, you are welcome at this table. All are invited to share in the foretastes of this heavenly banquet. This month's communion offering will benefit our 13th Habitat for Humanity home build. We're thrilled to partner again this year with other United Methodist churches in the Nashville area to build a home for a deserving family. Our goal is to raise $30,000, and so far we've raised $9,575, so please give generously. Our mission project is something that we have committed to for the past 12 years, so let's celebrate this 13th year with a strong surge toward our goal. Please note the directions printed in your bulletin insert for communion. As you come forward to the communion rail, please hold out your hands, hold them open to receive your elements, and stay as long as you wish afterward in prayer. If you would like to receive the elements in your pew, please let one of the ushers know by raising your hand when the choir comes forward. We have gluten and lactose-free communion bread to accommodate those who need it. Please proceed to the lectern side of the communion rail and indicate to your servers if you would like to receive those elements. All things are ready. You are invited. Please come and receive. have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen.
Go forth from this place to find your true treasure, to place your heart where God's heart is, knowing that God, the giver of all treasures, Jesus Christ, who showed us the treasure of God's great love for all, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to follow in Christ's way, will be with you now and forever. Go in peace.